today's episode of the Brains Bite Back podcast, we speak with Nate McLeach, founder and CEO of QuickBlocks, a company that provides instant messaging API that allows chat and calling functionality to be added to any Android, iOS, or web application. And in today's show, you will learn insights into how QuickBlocks provides real-time communication tools, including video calling and chat for applications and websites. And Nate also dives deep into the impact of AI on digital communication and discusses the company's vision for the future. I hope you enjoyed today's episode.
Hi, my name's Nate McLeach. I'm the CEO of QuickBlocks, and we provide real-time communication to allow people to add functionality like video calling and real-time messaging, like chat, to their applications and websites. So we have a variety of different customers who use our kind of functionality with things like social networks, doctor-patient communication, and telemedicine, and e-commerce for connecting buyers and sellers. And my background, I've been in technology for the past 20 years. Started with basically the internet bubble and on a media publication, and then moving over to selling SMS gateways and kind of the early stage of mobile content for mobile phones and app stores. And then most recently have come into the space of providing tools for other applications and websites to add these great functionalities to their applications.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm looking forward to today's conversation. And I want to know, before we get started, when and how did QuickBlocks first start?
So QuickBlocks, so I'd been in, as I mentioned, the company doing kind of SMS and mobile content, and I founded that business and had sold it, providing kind of mobile content services. And we kind of saw that there was a gap in the market where people were needing to add chat and video calling into their applications. And so myself and a former business partner at the time got a technical team together, and we basically said, okay, well, people are going to want to be able to add real-time communication and chat to their social network or to their e-commerce site or for telemedicine. And so then we built some, you know, initial proof of concepts, and then I took control of the business as kind of the exclusive founder and CEO in 2018.
Awesome. Fantastic. I have to ask though, what's the story behind the name QuickBlocks?
So what we were thinking with that, we went through a number of different names, like including another one that came through where we think about bypass. But the idea was to kind of provide kind of blocks or provide functionality that could be put within a website or application. And so we were thinking about little blocks functionality that could be adding your chat or adding your video calling or adding your file sharing. And so the idea was we have kind of these quick enabling blocks that you could add into your application. And then most recently, we've been adding additional functionality, or I guess additional blocks, into our platform. And that's in the form of AI to enable people to add AI functionality in their application. That could be like suggesting an answer, or it could be like transcribing a call if someone's sending, you know, a video message or a voicemail message to another user. So we kind of see the future being, you know, real-time communication, but real-time communication empowered by the abilities that AI can bring to add new value and new exciting functionality to different services.
Cool. Awesome. I mean, I am so glad that you're working in this space, because as someone that works like completely remotely myself, the better that we can communicate, the happier I am and the easier my job is. And I think most people can relate to that. And you've touched upon AI a little bit there. And I wanted to know, how will AI change the way we digitally communicate?
Yeah, I mean, I think you made an interesting use case, and I think actually even, you know, the what we're doing right now with this podcast, you know, can serve as a good example. So we're having this conversation now. What AI, you know, can do is it can transcribe that call, which is, you know, happening at the moment. It can record that call. You can then look at using AI to find pertinent issues that we're discussing in this call. So let's say you wanted AI to summarize all the points where we talk about AI. AI will also kind of influence, you know, remote work, right? So if you're effectively doing some sort of tasks, you have AI agents that will be able to kind of go out there and do different activities that you define it to do. And then I think, especially in communication, you know, there's so many elements where that's going to happen, right? Like maybe we're in a social networking app and we all decide we want to go to dinner together. Then, you know, in theory, you could have an AI within that application, which you could ask within the live chat to go make a dinner reservation. Or let's say you're doing, you know, a sales call and someone raises some sort of objection about, okay, well, you know, does your product do this or do that? You know, you can have the AI, which could provide, you know, some helpful suggestions to the person who's selling the product. Or let's say in the case of telemedicine or, you know, physician assistance, you know, you could have the AI also help with triage to understand, you know, different sorts of symptoms, not necessarily to be the actual provider of medical advice, right? I think this is where it's important to have the concept of a man in the middle, right? Because if you're providing, you know, medical treatment or legal advice, you know, that's often regulated through some sort of license. But the AI can provide, you know, some really powerful tools and really powerful summarization of what's the discussion going on there to enable, you know, people to get to the root of the issue or the problem, or to really get the information that they need from that personal interaction.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see what happens in this space. And obviously AI is something that seems to come up in every single conversation I have on these podcasts. So I'm super excited to see what develops from that. And I want to know, like, digital communication isn't anything that's particularly, I suppose, new. So I'm assuming, are there other companies in this space? And if so, how do you differentiate yourself from the competition?
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of our background, one of the differentiators that we have is that we're able to kind of deploy our solution within the customer's own hosting environment. So this way they've got, you know, security and control of their data, which is really important if you're doing things like finance or e-commerce or healthcare. So they want to have control over that. So that's a nice differentiator. I think the other differentiator is I think with the AI-enabled tools that we're launching out for healthcare and other industries, that you know, we're not just looking to provide a pipe of digital communication, but we're looking to provide, you know, enabling layers and applications on top of that, which will allow our customers to be able to kind of easily plug in this functionality. And that includes giving some ready UI interfaces to allow them to kind of customize that view of the digital communication that they want. And then we also have a ready application called Q-Consultation, which provides a virtual consultation experience. So kind of you can plug that within your own website and application. And it's got some neat abilities. If you're having like a call like we're having right now, it can kind of transcribe this call, it can summarize the call. And then it can be mapped to, you know, a variety of different AI tool sets. So you can kind of have suggested answers, summaries, and other functionalities. So I think it's going to be a bit of a seamless experience. So I think that the kind of capabilities that we have and the tool sets and our focus on the AI and the ability for the customer to control their differentiation does, you know, make us distinct from, you know, some other companies in the space, which may just offer pipe or just straight functionality.
That makes sense to me. It sounds very easy to use from what I'm getting from that. And I completely understand the distinction there. I did want to ask if anyone is listening to this and perhaps they are managing a remote team or they are developing their business and their team is going to be remote, what advice would you have for them?
I mean, I think we got two different questions here. Like, how do you create the most efficiency out of remote work? And mm-hmm. also, you know, what would you do if you're starting a business today? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think one of the biggest and most important things, you know, in either of those factors would be to have the right team around you. Because, you know, as I'm a solo entrepreneur, which, you know, is a path which creates challenges because, you know, you basically have to build a team around you. So, you know, maybe to distribute some of that load, make sure you find someone who can kind of really help, you know, drive things technically or help drive things with sales or commercially. And then if you're basically looking to develop, new products today, I think you need to take a look at, what are the existing technologies, potentially, like ours or others that can help you reduce your work or your lift in order to kind of get your business off the ground. And I think today you'd have to be taking a look at AI pretty seriously in whatever business you launch to see, if that can drive some efficiencies and what you're doing, right? Because some of the capabilities that it can do in terms of summarizing data or helping, whether or not you're doing sales, AI can kind of assist with script writing, or you're doing marketing, AI can generate, content and scripts. If you're doing, financial stuff, AI has got some ability to analyze data, or let's say you're doing healthcare, they can gather information and, help with the patient journey process. So I think depending on what your use case is, I think using good digital communication tools to connect those team members if they're remote in different locations, and then using new functionalities and taking advantage of these technology changes would be advice I would give to starting entrepreneurs. Right, you kind of want to figure out what's your unique differentiator, what's your competitive advantage, and then try and focus all your time and efforts in that, and see if you can find tools that can kind of fill in the gaps in areas which may not be, 100% core to what you want to do as a business.
I do want to go on to our last question, which is what's next on the horizon for QuickBooks?
Yeah, so I mean, what's next, obviously I kind of talked about that with the earlier inclusion of AI. So we are releasing some kind of plug and play applications where you can basically add the ability to connect users between real-time chat and video calling, but then also enable different AI functionalities on top of that. So I mean that really is where we're investing our time and resource in our development team right now, because this is a pretty transformative time. I think it's tough to see whether or not we're because there's always going to be hype around new technology revolution. And, I started playing around with AI chatbots like 15 years ago. There was one called the Alice bot, and there were some other ones. And, because I was doing early days of SMS, I'm dating myself here, we'd map the AI to an SMS gateway. And so you could use you could then ask a question, it would then go off to a website, it would grab an answer for you and then come back with it. And, it was absolutely amazing when you were using this 15 years ago. But the thing is, you had to program the exact question and then map it to exactly where you got the answer, right? There was no intelligence in this AI. So you just basically ask a question, you get the answer. But if you asked it anything else, it wouldn't come up with the correct response. And so now with the sea change of these LLM and large language models, there's the ability to have some intent understanding. So the AI can actually process your request, so it will come back with you. And obviously you can't do that 100% of the time, but if you're getting 70, 80, 90%, then it fundamentally can add value because it can actually understand what the person's asking and then hopefully try and provide some relevant information. So we want to provide that with our communication tools to take advantage of the power that brings to actually kind of do things for people, better help them better understand things, help them better process information, help them better get things done, but also connect those people in the ways that you need to, right? So how do you connect, the doctor both to his patient and to the AI to get the resources he needs? Or how do you connect, the financial advisor to, this information source and also connect them to the end user? Or in the sense of a social network, how do you connect people together and then allow them to have meaningful experiences, and how can you enrich that with technology? So, I think that's kind of explains why we think this is such a transformative technology today and kind of why we're going all in to further develop our communication products with AI enabling tools.
Yeah, it's crazy to see what's happened just in the space of 15 years. I mean, who knows what it's going to be like 15 years from now? It's going to be so super fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, people equate this to the birth of the PC again, or the birth of the internet. Which obviously created huge transformative changes, right? I mean, a lot of people today, younger generations, can't remember a time before the internet, right? When information was all accessible and available, and trying to find out where you're going by, you know, looking up a map. You're originally from the UK. There was an A through Z in London, which if you didn't have this, you would always get lost. So the accessibility information now is going to be even more so. And now you actually have, you know, potentially co-pilots that can help you navigate, you know, whatever task you're doing. And so it's really, how do you create, you know, meaningful human connection and interaction? And then, you know, have, you know, some co-pilots that can assist with that process. And also, you know, I mean, it's also a little bit scary, right? Because, you know, effectively, you know, if the AI is always in the conversation, then pretty much everything you say or see or do is going to be recorded by something else. So I think there's also some ethical concerns to think about in terms of, you know, privacy and how that needs to be treated, especially with personal data. And so I think that's another reason why our ability to kind of deploy the communication software within the customer's own environment is important, because you don't necessarily want that, you know, floating around freely. And I think there's really some needs to have some real security around these technologies and how they're used.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Now, I do also want to ask really my final question to you, Nate, is if people want to keep up with the work that you are doing personally or the work of QuickBlocks, how can they do that? Where would you recommend they go visit?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a pretty comprehensive blog, which has information about, you know, our products and our services and some interesting case studies about how companies have used our product. We're looking to post, you know, more on LinkedIn through, you know, our QuickBlocks profile there and through my personal LinkedIn profile. So, yeah, I mean, there's a number of different sources that, you know, our company's regularly publishing, you know, content, information about the things we're doing with communication and more recently with the stuff we're doing with AI. So, yeah, we'd welcome anyone to join. QuickBlocks.com is our blog. And also we're happy to take any questions directly about these kind of technology changes. And I'd be happy to be reached out directly as well.
Fantastic. Excellent. Well, we'll include links to the blog and the website and your own LinkedIn. And yeah, once again, Nate, thank you for joining me on today's show.
Yeah, thanks really for having me. I appreciate it. And it was interesting questions and I appreciate the time. Thanks.
Growing a company has many hurdles, from securing funding to expanding your business capabilities to ranking better on search. Each business challenge is uniquely complex. The solution to these challenges is growth-focused digital PR and marketing, and that is where our sponsor, Publicize, comes in. Publicize sets itself apart from traditional PR companies. It does not charge large retainers or churns out press releases whether you've got a newsworthy announcement or not. Publicize builds businesses' online presence and gets high-quality PR and media coverage for startups and entrepreneurs who are priced out of a broken PR industry. What's more, listeners of Brains Bite Back can find the tools and resources they need to overcome common hurdles that many startups face when trying to generate long-term growth by visiting publicize.co/BBB. That's publicize.co/BBB. That is it for today's episode. Thank you for joining us. I hope you've learned something, and if you have benefited from today's episode, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast, as these reviews really help us grow the show. You can also follow us wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube. Just search Brains Bite Back and you will find us. We hope you join us for more episodes in the future, and until then, take care.